Tom Sankton is a New Orleans-born clarinetist who learned the instrument at the feet of George Lewis in the 1960s. He spent the bulk of his professional life as a writer and journalist in New York and Paris, but returned to New Orleans after Katrina. Tom's new record is called Hymns and Spirituals, and comprises a series of live recordings made at New Orleans Trinity Episcopal Church between 2007 and 2009.
It's a nice-looking album. The cover is, it's to some extent modeled on the cover of an album George Lewis did back in the 50s called Jazz at Vespers, which was recorded in an Episcopal church up in Ohio. The cover image has kind of jazz instruments and string bass and banjo and clarinet with the stained glass window behind it. And that was also the image on the cover of the George Lewis Jazz at Vespers.
How did you end up doing the concert series at Trinity, and how did the recordings come about?
When I moved back in 2007, the people who ran the music program there, Albinus Prinz-Gentis and his wife Manon, approached me about, well, they have a, you know, they have a concert series called, I think it's the Trinity Artist Series, which is every Sunday at 5 p.m. at the church. They have music. It's not by any means all religious music. There's all sorts of things ranging from, you know, Mardi Gras Indians to chamber music to Irish folk music. And they asked me if I wanted to do something there and as part of that series. And the first concert was October 2007. And I had only recently moved back to New Orleans after living away for 40 years, mostly in Europe. So I had contacts with musicians here. I'd been, you know, some contacts went back to my high school days. And Lars Ettergren, for example, the piano player, he moved here from Sweden in 1965. So I knew him before I ever left town. And other musicians, like Tom Saunders, the bass player, moved here subsequently. And I very quickly got back in touch with the music scene here. So I put together a quartet. And I decided we would do religious music just because I thought it was suitable for the venue. I thought, and I've always loved the way that New Orleans bands play hymns and spirituals. It's really, really part of the New Orleans repertoire, and particularly George Lewis, who had just such a way with hymns, with the very beautiful tone. He had a very, very sensitive, moving way of, and lyrical way of playing hymns. He, in addition to the album that I mentioned, Jazz at Vespers, there was another one which is one of my all-time favorite albums called George Lewis Plays Hymns. And that came out on the Millenberg label years ago. And it was just a trio, just a bass, piano, and clarinet, and just gorgeous. You know, I listen to that still. As if I have time, I try to listen to it, you know, every day or several times a week. I think it kind of keeps me honest, because it's really a no-frills kind of thing. This is this beautiful melody, and this is this particular very special clarinetist's evocation of that melody with this tone and sensitivity that he had, and that continues to kind of, although, you know, I don't try to copy him, but it continues to be a model for me and an inspiration. So I thought that kind of music would be really suitable for this concert. So we did the first one in 2007, and then it just turned out every year they asked me to come back and do something, and I always felt like doing hymns and spirituals there. For one thing, the acoustics in that church are beautiful, very, very resonant, very warm. If you have a small group, if you go in there with a lot of brass and drums and cymbals and stuff like that, it just gets too boomy, too echoey. So I thought, small group, just one horn, and a rhythm section would be suited, acoustically suited to the venue, and thematically, musically suited to the venue. So that's how we came to do those concerts, and that's how we chose that repertoire.
George Lewis was your first teacher on the clarinet when you were a kid, right?
Yeah. He was the first time I went to Preservation Hall, he was playing the clarinet, and I was just enthralled by his playing, the sound of the clarinet. And that was 1962. In the early summer of 62. And a little bit later that summer, this English clarinet player named Sammy Remington showed up. He played exactly like George Lewis. He learned his style from recordings. And we kind of befriended him. And when he went back to England, he sent me a clarinet. And so the first thing I did with it was take it to George Lewis and ask him to give me lessons, which he did. So that was a very lucky break I had, to first of all to hear George Lewis live several times a week in those days, and to have him actually, you know, do some hands-on teaching with me.
Is there any one of the hymns that you do on this record that has a particular significance for you?
I'd say probably the first one, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's a hymn that I remember as far back as I remember anything. It's one that it's on that George Lewis Plays Hymns record, and it's just, I think it's a very inspiring hymn. The melody is very stately, and it kind of soars. I find it uplifting, you know? And I love the way George Lewis played it. On this version, I guess subliminally I was trying to get something like the George Lewis sound.
What is that sound? Can you describe it?
Ooh, it's really hard to put into words. I like to call it like molten silver or velvet or something. It's a very smooth sound. It's not shrill. It's round. It's mellow. It has a lot of depth to it, and a vibrato that's almost like it's almost like breathing. It's almost like a human breath, and very lyrical. It's a very lyrical sound, but if people have never heard it, you can have an idea of what a clarinet sounds like from the high school marching band or something like that. That's clarinets. 90% of all the clarinets in the world, when they're played, they sound lousy. I mean, they're shrill, particularly if they're played by kids or
yeah,
who are made to take music lessons and don't particularly have their heart and soul in it. I mean, it can be like the violin, the same way. It can just be horribly shrill and unpleasant. George's sound, it almost didn't sound like a clarinet. You know, it almost sounded like a deeper instrument, like not really a saxophone, but something. It's like all the high frequency, the shrill edge of what you often associate with a clarinet is kind of polished off, you know, and it's just, there's a lot of bottom to it. But again, it's hard to put into words.
And he always had a very simple approach to handling a melody, much like the one you describe on this record, right?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't a schooled musician at all. In fact, when I took lessons with him, he didn't even know the names of the notes. And I mean, no reading, no scales. I don't think he didn't read music to speak of. And to him, it was all about melody. And he did embellish and improvise, but he would improvise in certain ways that I guess he had favorite phrases and favorite ways of hooking parts of melodies together and kind of improvised phrases. But the main thing, I mean, the backbone of his playing is a lyrical evocation of melody. Mm-hmm. and swing, a lot of swing. I mean, it's maybe the hardest thing about that style to emulate is the just in the incredible subtlety of his timing in the swing. You know, all that continues to be an inspiration to me as a clarinetist, even though I've long since, I guess, moved away from just the attempt to do a carbon copy of George Lewis. There are plenty of other people who do that and do it better than I ever did. Sammy Remington being the best in the world at that.
The reverberance of the church is very distinctive on these recordings, especially since we're used to a more
dead studio sound kind of thing like that. Well, you know, some people in the studio will add a lot of reverb to get a sound like that.
Yeah.
You know. But believe me, we did not add any reverb to this. I think that's something that gives a particular quality to this album. I mean, when you hear it, you know you're in a church. As I say, I wouldn't want to have a very raucous jazz band in there with lots of horns, because it would just be bouncing around too much. And the other thing is it affected the way we played, certainly the way I played. The clarinet can be a very busy instrument. I tried to... not to be too busy. Sometimes I get carried away, but I don't have the outrageous chops to, that would allow me to do like Buddy DeFranco busy. But I made a conscious effort to really be much more melodic and play fewer notes, longer notes, to give them a chance to resonate. Because that, to use the beauty of the of those acoustics, you have to sustain notes, you know, and let that note live and breathe, and not just chop it off or follow it by, you know, a bunch of eighth notes or.
They tend to kind of step on each other, right?
Well, they bounce. They really, literally bounce back, and you can get some real dissonance by if you're doing a chromatic scale or something like that with notes that, if they're sustained, if you hear them all at the same time, they clash with each other. You get a discord, you know, and those notes hang around for a few seconds or for a certain time. When you play a note, and then you play another note. That first note is still in the air. It's still resonating. So if the second note makes a discord with the first one, you know, then you hear a little dissonance, and you don't think about it really in the moment that much. Oh, I better not play a B flat next to a B because that's going to sound lousy. But again, it made me think about just playing more lyrically, more melodically, and sustaining notes more. And again, a sustained note has more beauty to it, it can develop its full richness, and you can actually bend that note a little bit or open it out or add some vibrato to it or let it taper off. There's a lot you can do with one sustained note, so that kind of influenced a little bit the way I played in that venue, definitely.
All right, Hymns and Spirituals is the name of the record. It's available at Louisiana Music Factory. Tommy, thank you for dropping by.
Okay, good.